Boot Camp in Miami Beach, Florida. This is the Power Hour. Welcome.
Oh, and a good Saturday to you. This is our 269th. And on the Power Hour, we've done 268 of them already in the bank, and this one is the 269th, approaching 300. It's a lot. So that's a lot of Power Hours. And anyway, so this one is going to be on using technology, in particular for flight, teaching IFR with it. So one of the things we do in our CFI class, by the way, is in both our CFI and CFII classes, we're going to use the current technology. We're not going to use old methods, and we're going to teach you how to do that. So, for example, one of my goals is to have a person, when they come into our place, to be able to have an iPad, an Apple Pencil, and a headset, and go to the airport and do anything you need to do. Teach a class, project on smart TVs, sit on your couch and teach a lesson via Zoom, share your screen, all that stuff. So so that's part of what we do. So ForeFlight is a staple in our business. So meaning that we use it all the time in cross-country flight planning, everything, IFR, everything. So anyway, we're kind of real familiar with that product. And I'm going to show you how to use it for teaching IFR. That's, and if you're a student or you're a person, I will say learner, undergoing IFR training, then some of this stuff, you know, will be very beneficial to you as well. It's not just for flight instructors. This, I made it hybrid so that there's enough content in it for all of us. Now, this is quite a big presentation. For just so you know, so anything I talk about, like this presentation, is going to be located in the chat. So there'll be a link there to many things. So when the time comes, so there'll be links to the Wings credit when that time comes at the very end of the show. There'll be links to this, links to that, depending on what's in there. Any offers we have will all be in the chat. So be on the lookout for that stuff in the chat, okay? By the way, just so I set it up correctly, when we do get to the Wings credit, you have to click on the link. You can't send me your name and your email because we won't pay attention to it. You have, because it's too much to do. So usually there's, you know, 400 of you or so, or 500 that want Wings credit. Can you imagine? Copy paste. So we just have a link that you put your email into, and then that's then that happens. Okay, so we've got about 600, not nearly. So that's about where we start. So we'll get started here with all of that, and so this is going to be this topic: teaching IFR using ForeFlight. So using technology for better training. So again, we, our company has a philosophy of not using, not living in the past. We want to live in the present and maybe a little bit in the future. So that means that we don't teach you how to manually do a flight plan. We teach you the principles of navigation so you understand if the tool is lying to you. But we're generally going to use all this stuff, right? That's what we do. So anyway, there's that. Then when you get out, you're ready to teach it too. So that's the kind of the idea, or hopefully you are using it. So before we get started, we need to get ForeFlight ready, right? And so I just want to give you some general guidelines. And again, this presentation in PDF form is going to be in the chat. So you don't have to record anything, look at anything, anything like that, or take notes. Or you want to make sure your subscription is up to date and you updated everything. And that's located under the, in ForeFlight under the More section at the bottom. And then you have downloads, so you can make sure everything is downloaded. Make sure you have an internet connection because you'll need to have that to update anything. And then make sure you set up an aircraft profile. So you can set it up specific to the airplane, and then ForeFlight, depending on your level of subscription, will be able to load in performance data from the POH and use that in its calculations. And some are actually quite good. Others you have to build. But that's generally not a hard thing. So then you can label it with your N number of the airplane you fly or whatever you want to title it. Okay, so you'll need to set up an aircraft profile. And then input the performance data if ForeFlight doesn't do it for you, depending on your level of subscription, which we're going to talk about here in just 1 second. Today's demo that I'm going to do, the whole thing is going to be based on using the premium subscription. That's the highest level that ForeFlight offers. And I would encourage you flight instructors to make sure you get ForeFlight at this level, because there are things in there that are not available at other subscription levels that are really, really useful to you. And we're going to review those so you can see the differences. There's one slide or two slides that just show the what you get with the premium level. Now, of course, these are $300, and people roll their eyes back in their head. Oh my God, it's $300. But you know, you'll spend that getting sometimes from the tie down to the run up in a lot of airplanes. And that, so this is not enormous subscription price, something you're going to use a lot. So especially if you're teaching from it. The basic version of ForeFlight does not have profile view, which I use a lot. I'm going to be showing you that here in just a second. I can do a pretty quick risk assessment on is its flight even possible just using the profile view of the flight plan. I'll show you what that is, so don't worry about that. And then the basic and essential subscription versions don't have extra layers in this profile view for clouds, turbulence. So in the profile view, I get a profile of the actual flight. I get the airspace, which you'll have if you have the essential version, you'll have that at least. But I can also turn on clouds and I can see the bases and the tops. The clouds will populate in there. I can turn on icing, I can turn on turbulence. And so I can look at that and also terrain and I can obstacles. And so I can see very quickly if this flight is even possible. So we're going to look at that in a second. Now I'm going to go through the step through the entire presentation. And at some point, I'm going to stop and actually boot up ForeFlight and do something with it. Show you sort of things that don't look as or it's hard to describe with a static image like with a picture, but some of the things are animated and I can show you those things. So I'll be doing that. And the basic and essential versions don't have 3D view or three or flights. So the ability to fly the airplane and see the route, or the ability to take a look at the airport and its surroundings. So that's one really good thing you'd want. Now, ForeFlight can't do a few things. It can't pick the best route for you. Can't apply risk management automatically. I would say yet to these things because as we progress through with artificial intelligence, AI, we're able to do a lot that we couldn't do even 6 months ago. So, and a lot of this stuff is coming our way. So I think this will be quite possible within a year. And also can't work out or work around your personal minimums. It doesn't know anything about that yet, I say. Okay, so again, I don't want to be on the bleeding edge of technology, but I like being on the cutting edge, okay? So that's what you always find here. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break about halfway through, and I'm just going to let Rex Scholl talk about, he's one of our boot camp instructors. He's going to talk about a service that we have, which is basically remote instruction for those of you doing CFI or any kind of rating, really, and you're struggling with it, or you feel you need extra help. And you know, we are by far the really experts at CFI training. It's a boutique industry, you know, it's not a thing. So okay, so let's see. So let's move on and let's talk about what we're going to cover. We're going to cover the premium subscription features, why you need Jepson charts. That's another couple hundred bucks I'm going to make you spend, probably try to make you spend. We're going to talk about how to teach a little bit of weather using ForeFlight, linking a cloud drive to ForeFlight. What is that? Well, you can, if you have a Dropbox account, some remote cloud drive, it depends on which one it is, you could sync it to ForeFlight and carry that with you. Import a PDF or a document like a POH. We're going to talk about using Route Advisor, what that is, how to produce multiple tops of climbs and a flight plan, how to do that, not just one altitude. I'm going to show you how to design a hold on ForeFlight. ForeFlight will allow you to do that. And if you know the hold, they give you the holding clearance, it will put the hold at the fix for you. Also look at 3D flight. We'll have a quick chat about that and see how it works. And using ForeFlight in simulators. So we'll talk about that for a few minutes. You'll find that to be really, really effective way to teach. And we'll look at synthetic vision, just the option for it, and Sentry, just basically what it looks like and why you'd want it. And here are the features. So in the premium subscription, you get in the profile view, you get clouds, icing, turbulence, wind. So, and airspace is there automatically by default. If you have the essential or you have the basic version, then you don't have all that. It'll be grayed out. It'll be there, but you won't be able to see it, use it. Also, you have a surface analysis chart. This is really good for teaching weather. So, and then we have animated wind speeds and temperatures for any altitude. So that's pretty good. So I'll show you that. And you can begin, weather theory sort of comes a bit more alive when you can see it move and you can see what the wind does and how it affects, and the fronts affects things, that sort of thing. We also have expanded performance capabilities. If you put your serial number of your airplane in, it can suck in the POH for that airplane and then populate the performance for everything. We also have 3D view and 3D flights, which we'll look at that, and the ability to link a cloud drive. That's also available in Central. Now, why would you need Jepson charts? Well, here's one example. So, this is a chart. The one on the right is from Belarus, I believe. And so if you fly outside of the US and you don't have Jepson charts or you don't use them, then you're going to have to use the charts of the country you're in. And they may or may not be easy to read. This is an easier, easy-ish one to read, but some of them are quite complicated. The minimums for in England, they had to be calculated. So there are many things that are different. Jepson is going to produce it in this format worldwide. It's going to look like the U.S. chart's going to look like this one. There may be some extra things in there, but you're going to be able to read it. So that's one of the first reasons. And if you're going to be a pilot, if that's going to be your job, you're going to use them. The only thing I can think of that if it's a professional pilot, like you're a tour operator or something, then you probably won't use them. But if you're flying passengers around, you're going to be using Jepson charts. And so the sooner you get used to using them, the better off you're going to be, especially in a technical interview or in a sim or something like that, which you may be testing for. So I would be getting on that. So it forces the world's charts into consistent format. So it's going to every chart Jepson chart is going to look like the one on the left, right? Not the one on the right. And so here's another reason. So it declutters many hard-to-read FAA charts. So, for example, this is IWA, which is Mesa Gateway in Phoenix area. And this is the FAA chart, and this is the Jepson chart. So if you just have a look at it just for a second, right? I know it's a little small, and I'll show it to you in full strength here when we get to where I want to leave this presentation and go to four flight. But you can see it's pretty cluttered. And what you probably missed was something. There. Did you miss the feeder route? There's a feeder route that goes from Willie Intersection to Snoll. And you can see that it's embedded in near a restricted area, a bunch of cross radials that unnecessary. And you look at here at the Jepson, it just tells you there's a feeder route, very uncluttered, right? So it is a good job of uncluttering certain charts. There. Alternate airport restrictions are on every airport info chart. So in Jepson, you have an airport diagram, then you have airport information chart. And on the back of the airport information, or in the should say on the airport information chart, alternate minimums are there regardless of whether they're standard or not. And they won't you so you don't have to go to the chart supplements and look at all that stuff. You can just look at the page you already have. Also, SIDs and STARs are to scale. They are in FAs or not. So one line, this big can be 20 miles, and one line this big can be 147 miles, right? So they're not, it's just to make things sort of like make sense. So you can fit everything on a chart. Jepson says, well, now we use the iPad. So we're not constrained with, we don't care if the chart is 10 feet long by 10 feet wide. It doesn't matter. We can just zoom in or zoom out to do whatever we want to do with it. So they made everything to scale. So that means you can geo-reference on those, which means your blue dot, your GPS position can be on a Jepson SID or STAR. It cannot be on an FAA chart because they're not to scale. So it wouldn't know where to place you. So there's that. You can also charge students to teach them to use these charts. When ForeFlight first became available, I mean, when Jepson first became available on ForeFlight, I was like right there. The very second they released the thing, I bought them. Probably 10, one of the top 100 or 10 people bought them. And people thought I was crazy. And I said, why? But those are 175 or whatever they are. I said, because I'm going to make like $3,000 or $4,000 teaching people how to use these. That's why. So some things aren't really costs if we look at them in certain ways, enabling other income opportunities for us. So now we can also look at teaching weather for ForeFlight, and you'll find that whether you can get weather briefings, and these are graphical weather briefings, you can step through them. And ForeFlight, y'all, we'll give an example here in a minute. Like I say, we're going to save all this stuff to the end so you can see it in real time. Just these ideas here is to give you an idea of features, right? You can look at weather imagery, like over here. There's a ton of weather imagery. So if you're a weather hound and you like extra detail, you can get it here, okay? Also, you can look at radar, and you can see the differences because there'll be two options in their lowest tilt and composite. So most people, they don't know, they think radar is just radar, but lowest tilt, the angle of the radar head is it's scanning the bottom of bases of the clouds to the ground. So you can see precipitation that's taking the ground a lot more clearly. And composite is the whole thing, but it's a quicker scan. So you know how to use lowest tilt and then composite along with satellite imagery as well. So that can be infrared and visible. And visible light satellite imagery can see fog a lot better than infrared can, but it's got to be daylight to use it, right? And so some limitations and some where would I use this kind of things you can teach. Also, you have the surface analysis chart available, and that's this one right here, and it's for the pretty much for the world. It's here, and then that's and you can see where the cold front, in this case there's an occluded front, a cold front, a warm front here, So other things around here. So anyway, there's that. And you can see that it can teach people that, the low pressure areas move with the jet stream typically unless they're cut off, and the fronts move relative to the low pressure areas. And you can show that, and you'll see in a second. These are animated winds that you can't see in being animated. They're still copies, but this one is at 30,000 feet where the jet stream would be. And then this is at low level. So you can see the low pressure area over here spinning off the coast. And this, I've just put it at a low level so we could just see what would be like for us at a 3,000 feet or so. So that's what this is. You can also show the semi-permanent high and low pressure areas around the world. If you don't know, the Aleutian Low is up in Alaska. The California is a blocking high in the summertime. Iceland has in that area, Europe's weather is influenced by the Icelandic Low. And then there are others in Australia that are high pressure areas. So you can teach those if you know those, and you can actually see those in motion. And we'll take a look at them here in a minute. You can also show fog if there is any out there, and you can talk about and teach icing, all from ForeFlight. Now, the other thing we can do is we can link a cloud drive to ForeFlight. So what would be the advantage of that? So why wouldn't I just want to import every document that I have into folders, which you can do? Well, because if you have a cloud drive, then for example, we have a product called CFI Essentials, and it's a cloud drive. And when you get it, you can download everything, that's for sure. But if I make a change, like a new AC come out the other day for the AC 6165 Kilo, I just dropped it into Dropbox and everybody has it instantly. So you can keep all your devices synchronized. So you can have your iPad synchronized with the cloud, with your laptop, with your phone, with whatever it is, and you've got the information with you all the time. So that's a good reason to link the drive. Unfortunately, it doesn't link every cloud, and one of them that we would like to have, Google Drive, is not supported. So that's a little unfortunate, but this is what the advantage are, right? So this supports only Box, Dropbox, so it's, and S2 and OneDrive. That's the only four it supports. So that's a bit of a Debbie Downer there, but it's that. Okay. You can only set up a cloud drive from ForeFlight for the web. So if you try to set it up, try to do it on your iPad, the option isn't there. But if you go to foreflight.com with your account, then you'll be able to do it from there. Okay. You can also import individual PDFs. So this can be done with the web version, with iPad, iPhone. You can just import a document. So if you have a POH or anything, a handbook, FAM, whatever you want to import, you can do it right from the iPad. And now again, it'll populate other ForeFlight enabled devices. So your phone, it will be there, but it's not going to be everywhere for you. Where the cloud drive would have that. But to any device, doesn't matter whether it's a Mac, whether it's a Windows machine, a tablet, a Surface tablet, doesn't make any difference. So anyway, this you'll be able to import POHs and stuff you might use. And the advantage to that is this thing has a lightning fast PDF reader, which I'm going to show you. It's really quick. It's faster than anything I've ever seen. And you can also annotate on it with a pen. So you can circle things, you can make notes on it, you can do whatever. And if you're smart or clever, you can also create a virtual whiteboard. How would I do that? So I don't need a whiteboard anymore. I just use this, right? My iPad. I project on a smart TV or on the student's laptop, or I just show them, right? So just find any document that has enough white space in it and zoom out so you don't see anything but white. Now you got a virtual whiteboard. Huh. Did you like that? That's your tip of the day right there. So again, I'll show you how to do it. So I'm going to step through all this with you. Route Advisor is also within ForeFlight. That's a very interesting thing. So Route Advisor, if you put your flight plan in between two cities where you want to go, two airports, I should say, there'll be a section over on the right-hand side called Routes over here. And this will give recently assigned ATC routes to you, what ATC actually assigned. And you can just click onto that and it'll pop right into your flight plan. So some of them for jets, it'll tell you. Some of them are for piston airplanes. So you pick one, and that's Route Advisor. And you can just populate the route you're most likely to get. So it was issued like 10 minutes ago, an hour ago, 2 days ago, 1 year ago. It'll give you the age of it as well. So it'll look like this. Yeah, it gives you that. Now, people, I think they're funny. They say that we have a CFI class. We teach. We're not teaching IFR stuff. There's VFR stuff, right? And they'll say, I'll just use Route Advisor to get the VFR route to the ATC doesn't track any VFR routes. There's no way to get that data. Like, how would you go to Bishop, California? Well, you have to figure it out, right? If you want to go there IFR, ForeFlight will tell you. But if you want to go VFR, there's no provision in ForeFlight to do it, right? Because there's no data available. But some people think that. Okay, there you go. Okay, you could put in multiple types of client. So the thing to know is it's in a flight plan here, and we'll go through one of these. I think I have one preloaded. And if you click just onto the fix that you want to either cross at a particular altitude or start at a particular, so you want to cross it, I want to already be there at this altitude, or I want to start the climb at this place. You click onto that, then you're going to see an option down here, set heading, altitude. And when you click that, you get this option, which is cross at or start at, and you put the altitude, and it will do it. And ForeFlight will make another top of climb for you. So there's that. Now, the altitude, if you have one over here, this the only bug here is that's got to be the lowest altitude in your flight plan. If it's not, ForeFlight will crash and will make you reload the entire flight plan and reboot it. So that's not a good thing. So remember that. This altitude must be the lowest. And so you can do this. You can either start at or cross at any altitude there. Okay. So we've got that going. Just checking to see how many. We have 750 people in the room. 730 something. Okay, it's a lot. Okay, there's that. Now we'll show you this again. So here's what it looks like. Multiple tops of climb. You can see we've designed many in here. If you have, this is profile view, by the way. So if you have profile view, which is down here, edit as the one I showed you before, then you have to have a fix. So you have to have a fix by which you either start at or cross at. So if you don't have one in there, you won't be able to set another top of climb until you put one in there. And you can also click it here and it saves a bit of a step. And that's a little easier to see, right? In a way, what you might want to do. So there's that. But again, you have this presentation, so don't stress out. Yeah, and you may need to zoom in the profile view to see all the fixes because it will just a little cluttered. And so you have to zoom out and they say, I know I have a fix in there. Zoom out, pinch it, like this, and you'll see it. And we'll do that here in a second too. Okay, we set how to do that. That's good. Okay, holding, you can actually cause ForeFlight to hold at any fix you have in your flight plan. And so the way you do it is this is in the edit menu flight plan, which every subscription level has. You press onto the fix you want to hold at. I said here, that's where I want to hold. And then you pick hold. And then over the next screen that comes up, this one, next little one comes up, is going to ask you what radio or what you want to hold on, and then what distance or time you want it to be. And in ForeFlight, we'll draw that hold right here onto the chart for you. And we'll also give you the entry as you approach it. Right. So that's can be in any fix. Very helpful. They also have the ability here to, if you're in an airport, to pick what kind of entry you'd like to make, a downwind entry, 45 entry, and you can select that and we'll paint that on or draw that on your chart as well. Yep, that's it. Interesting, right? There you go. But we need to make sure people can hold, but this is a tool that makes life a little less stressful when you're flying, especially if you haven't held in a while. This is a good thing to have around. We also have 3D flight, so I can actually fly my route. You can see it right there. This is a route in ForeFlight, and you can see those things in the front. Look, those are clouds. So it also populates where the cloud bases and tops are, so you'll be able to see that. And I run it at 20x speed, so I can fly the route and see what it's going to look like. And I can also scrub ahead, which we'll do. And we can see, because sometimes this IFR stuff, I got to tell you, is not the most. It's not very sense us. What's the word? It's not very smart sometimes. So sometimes, for example, I did the point raise one arrival, which is well, SID from or departure from Northern California, and it takes you like 5 miles off the ocean at pretty low altitude. And if you're IFR, you can't see anything. You don't know that, and you go like, "Oh, just happy as a lark," right? You come out of the clouds, you see all that water, you don't see anywhere to go, and ooh, or you fly over this. Because the airway goes straight, it doesn't know there's a canyon down there and a bunch of mountains and all this stuff around, nowhere to land. So being able to see things can make a lot of sense. Yeah, so we can do that. So it uses enhanced Google Earth imagery. Just got updated, by the way. So again, IFR charts don't show terrain, so check your route. So 3D view shows the airport and the surrounding areas along with ADS-B traffic. So you can zoom in and zoom out and take a look at the airport environment around where you're going to go. Okay. Also, you have solar information that's available to you. So most of you, we'll take a break here in just a second, don't know when you can begin logging flight time for night and when you can begin when you can begin meeting the aeronautical experience requirements when it says night. So let me make one thing clear. The only time you ever have to wait an hour after sunset is if you want to carry passengers. Then you have to do three takeoffs and landings an hour after sunset. Everything else, absolutely everything, when it says night, you have to do three, you have to make a night cross country of 100 nautical miles, 5 hours of night VF, whatever it says, all can be done at the end of evening civil twilight. And that you can find this little tab right here underneath the airport name, and it has the solar data, and you can find out when that is. It won't be an hour after sunset. It'll be something other than that. Okay, so that's a good use for that because you're probably missing a lot of nighttime in your logbook because you started logging an hour after sunset and you didn't need to do that. You can do it at the end of evening civil twilight. There's that. Okay, we'll take a break here in just a second. Also, another feature is not widely known is there are comments that are crowdsourced in the comments area. And they also have a AI summary of all the comments, the first entry you see. So, for example, you would go to the airports tab and click comments. You'll see what people say about this airport. And this is the AI summary here. So, quite a good feature to tell you because sometimes you go like, well, like the self-serve doesn't work. It's intermittent. Or there's a good place to eat. It's just off the airport. It can be anything like that. So there's that. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to take a break because we're a little past the break, but that's good enough. And I'm going to find Rex and I'm going to have him tell a little bit about himself, what he does for us, and how you can take advantage of his ground instruction that he can provide for you for just a few minutes. And we'll go right back to the show. So we're only going to do that. And we have a that'll be in the opt-in. If you want to do such a thing or you have any interest in it, or you think you might have an interest in it, then I would you can look in the chat. There'll be a link in there for you. And then we can get a hold of you by email and say, what did you need? You know, here's the money side of it, here's the this, here's the that, whatever it is. So let me go find to the chat. A lot of people in the room. We have 754. That's a lot of people. Okay, Boot Camp Rex, got you. Okay, I'm gonna get him unmuted here. I'll make him co-host. He knows what to do. Hey Rex, you're unmuted and
All
ready to go.
right, there we
Oh,
go.
hey, good. Oh, there you are. How's it
There we
going?
are. Very good. I really like this. I really like what you're doing here with the ForeFlight. There's so many tools in here, and it's updating so much these days. Keeping on top of it is almost a full-time job in and of itself, huh?
Yes. So tell us what you do for us when you do it, and
Okay.
what your availability is,
Yeah.
and
So
where you
very good.
are.
Sorry, what'd you say?
And you're where you are, like where you're
Oh, very
located.
good. Yeah. So I am in the Ogden, Utah area. I am a CFI here. I've been a CFI for a number of years, going on 7 years now. I do a lot of an initial CFI. I put people through the gauntlet, as it were, over at CFI boot camp, making sure they're ready for their CFI initial. To that, you know, that if you've been through that check ride, you know it can be quite the marathon, quite the ordeal, you know, at least a 4 hour, 4 to 7 hour oral type thing. So having someone who has done it before, who teaches it regularly, who knows what's going on, is super beneficial. So at CFI boot camp, we've definitely got some experienced guys that know what they're doing. The other thing, you know, is if you need something like a mock check ride, like you've been working with your CFI and you want to work with another CFI who's maybe had a little bit more experience or put some more people through check rides and that kind of thing. You know, talking to someone like myself who's been doing that for a number of years, we might have some good recommendations for you. So, those are some of the things that we can do. Or if you just have something like, let's say you're getting ready for a written exam and you just have a few questions. One thing that is kind of cool about the FAA written exams, at least I found it to be true, is that even though that they can word it, you know, they have very specific wording sometimes, I feel like that there's something valuable to learn behind each and every question. So, you know, in my mind, the rote memorization isn't the answer. Let's figure out, you know, what are they getting at? What do they want me to learn? And help that be a part of my process. Ryan says he has a 9 hour oral for his CFI initial. Wow,
Yeah,
that's
that can be a
long.
long time. Well, that's Emil in our place. He's going to give you the 8 or 9 hour run. We use another guy
Isn't
who's only, his this other guy's check ride, CFI check ride, that we use is 4.5 hours, including the flight. I have no idea how that works.
Oh,
Yeah,
yeah.
it's
The
great.
most of the FISDOs that I've seen are like if it's less than 4 hours, and they're starting to, you know.
Yeah, because he gets permission to do two initial CFIs in a day sometimes.
Wow,
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. But
that's
he also
incredible.
he works at a very nice FISDO, I should say. All right, well, if you're interested in that kind of thing, we've got links in the chat, and we're happy to either there's several of us who can do the work, but I want to introduce Rick. So you saw someone, you know who they are. Also, Rick's is a glider CFI as well, so
That's
he's
right.
got good experience in that, and he's a light sport or now sport pilot repairman, right? You have that going for you as well, so he does that.
Yeah,
Does that.
I got my light sport powered parachute as well. I'm working on
Oh
the
my God,
instructor.
that's fun.
I'll have that by the end of the month, hopefully. And then
That's
I'm
super.
also working on a gyroplane light sport and instructor. I should have both of those by the end of the month also.
Oh, that's very good. You do you know
Yeah, we've been
Raul?
chatting.
Yeah.
Raul.
Rose is like super. No, he's in here a week.
He's fantastic. I call him and chat him up on the phone, and he's amazing. He knows what he's talking about.
He does. He absolutely does. Yep, I know. All right, I'm gonna go back to the presentation here. I just need to find it. Here it is. Okay.
All right,
All right,
thanks,
we'll talk
Mike.
to you a bit later. Yeah. All right. So let's go back and we'll get real time here, and just as soon as we get through the last little bits of this, make sure everything is playing correctly. Okay. Anyway, thanks for suffering through that. It was 5 minutes. Okay. Good. Simulators and for flight. This combination can be really, really good. The issues that and those of you who are pursuing an instrument rating, one thing that seems to get left out or overlooked is if you have a flight training device like a Redbird or a PFC, whatever you have in your place, you'll find that a lot of time building CFIs are not interested in being in there with you. They want to fly an airplane to get time. So even though you could learn a lot more in the sim, sometimes you find people reluctant to do it, and they won't tell you the reason. They'll just say it's not be, they'll just say, we can go to the airplane, it's okay. So but these flight training devices can broadcast some of them GPS location out, right? And then there's another service called Pilot Edge. It's a small subscription service, and these are actual air traffic controllers, and they will communicate, see you, and they're based in Southern California area. For unfortunately, that's the only place they can do it. But who cares? You have a real ATC environment. They can give you the weather. They can give you vectors. They can do all kinds of things. So you couple all this stuff together, and you can really save a lot and learn a lot more by using a flight training device and ForeFlight and Pilot Edge. So these are all really good services, and this is kind of stuff you should be. I would be putting my people in a flight training device for the first 20 hours. I'd use it all 20 hours of credit, and I get a good result from that. Okay, so there you go. It's that. And you can use ForeFlight just like you were in the airplane. Yeah. Okay, there's that. I'll look at the chats at the end of the hour. Now, synthetic vision looks like this. So if you are flying IFR and you don't have something like Sentry, which is, you'll see in a second what it has in it. It's basically another navigation system, right, for you, and AHRS, Attitude Heading Reference System with ADS-B and GPS. If you don't have that, I think you're crazy, because when things fail, it can be this can be a your lifeline. This when the entire electrical system fails on the airplane, you're still going to be able to get on the ground, right? So this is what it looks like, and it's synthetic vision, so it's color coded in terms of terrain that's within 1,000 feet, within 100. This is the button that activates it up at the top, and then you have to have the Sentry or Stratus or something connected to it, right? That does an AHR system. So Sentry does have a GPS, ADS-B, and AHRS all in one box. And I always have a battery brick, like a battery backup to take, because I want to have way enough juice, especially if I have to land somewhere and I have to call someone and my phone, I everything to work. So and that's how you get onto it. It'll connect right. It'll be there ready for you to use. So if everything fails, you've got your own attitude indicator that works, your heading indicator that works. You've got, okay, the airspeed, and those are going to be GPS derived, and the altitude, but that's still fine. There'll be ground speed. That. Okay, that's it for that. So let's go to real ForeFlight. Do that, and I'll show you some of this stuff in real time. So that'll be fun. And we have plenty of time for it. So I left enough time. I was worried I was not going to be able to get through Well, I would not have enough time for the presentation, for the actual demo, but I'm have plenty of time. So that's very good. Okay, so I'm going to connect my iPad again to through Zoom here, and we'll get on it. Get after it, so to speak. Right? Here we go. There's that. Okay, let me just get it set up here. We teach you all this stuff, how to do all this stuff. This is not obvious stuff. It is if you're a technology person, but if you're not, the stuff is a bit. Okay, here we go. Yay. Okay, let's load up for flight. And let's look at some of this stuff, shall we? Yeah, let's do the IFR stuff. So I have a smattering of plates here that I like to use for teaching. And so I have these off on the side and in a folder and in a binder, and they're within for flight, and I can access these at any time. So I can run through a few of them with you. I don't want to bore you too much, but there's a few that for teaching purposes really shine to me, right? So let's take a look. Let's look a little. One of them is this one, which is the ILS, which I showed you already to one here. The ILS to IWA. This is the FA version, and you can see there's the feeder route, but it's very hard to see. So you will misinterpret this. I will give people clearances. They'll cross Willie. I say at 4,500 clear to the approach, 3-0 center, and they will cross Willie and go immediately down to 3,700 feet, which you cannot do yet because there's a feeder route there. So really easy to see that. That's can leave a mark pretty quick, right? So you got that, and then the Jepson version of that was here. And you can see that all the clutter is gone. The feeder route's very obvious here, right? So it's just a few things. And then another one that I use, if I can find it here, is a couple of them. So this is one I use. It's Napa. And have a look at this one for a second. And let's take a look at the minimums. So this is, you can look at the fixes. And the sort of the headings, that kind of thing, the tracks. And this is the GPS Yankee. And then you see the minimums for an LPV approach was like a ILS almost. 1,252 feet, and you need 5 miles visibility. Huh? Okay. Anytime you see something weird in that, it's going to be 90% of the time it has to do with the missed approach. So let's have a look at that. So let's take a look at the other one. There's another approach at Napa. It's the same track, same exact track across the ground. Zulu one. So you see all the fixes are the same, the tracks are the same, everything. But now look at the minimums. LPV minimums, 217 feet. That sounds more like it. Why? Has to do with the missed approach. Look at missed approach of Terra Top requires minimum climb of 420 feet per nautical mile to 2,200 feet. If you're unable to do it, use the other one. So because you have to stick with the higher minimums. So almost all those weird things have to do with the missed approach, either having to do it early, like at Lake Tahoe, so you're out over the lake. Also, this is another interesting one. We use this in training all the time. This is the VOR approach to Martin State in Baltimore area, and it's a DME arc. The approach is a DME arc, so it's a really practical use of DME arcs because we fly this as an approach. And if your head went crazy doing it, and you do the missed approach, you get to do another arc. So there's that. But it's valuable for training, super valuable, right? So we've got a few of those. So we can leave that. If you want to see what an NDB approach looks like, there's one to Unalaska. And notice, I'll give you another thing, one last one, just real quick, to Lakeland, Florida. So it's the VOR approach to LA, Lakeland. Let me find it here. Maybe easier to say just KLAL. Okay. It's the VOR approach. Okay, VOR, this one, 2-8, I think it is. Yes. So for those IFR people or IFR in training, you'll notice that this approach has no final approach fix. There isn't one. What? There's no Maltese cross anywhere. So you go like, well, how on earth would do I? It's because the missed approach is at the VOR. So you don't need a final approach fix. You just need to remain within 10 miles of the VOR, however long you want to go, as long as you stay within 10, come back. You can let down anytime you want. And then the missed approach will be at the VOR. The VOR will flip when it's time to leave. So that's why. So you see instrument approaches that don't have missed approach or final approach fixes, right? All these things. I got you thinking now, huh? You're thinking up pretty good. Can I get a listing of everything in your binder? No. How about no? All right, let's go to four flight. And we're gonna, that's that hold right there that I showed you how to do. I put it over this part right here. I think it was here. So you would have a hold here, but I can edit the hold if I want to. So then I can say instead of being the 110, I want it to be the 175 radial. And time 1 minute. Okay, let's make 2 minutes. 2 minutes. And now you'll see that the hold has been updated, right? It's there. It's different now, right? So it's very valuable for teaching holding, right? You can just say, what do you think it would be? Let's see what it looks like, right? What does it mean? So very valuable to be able to do this kind of thing, right? The other thing you'll see is that the Jepson charts are geo-referenced. So this is how I was going to go to Key West. And so from Opa-locka here, and you can see this is where I am, right? Right here on this island of Miami Beach, this one. So we're not connected to Miami, just so you know. Nothing that, well, we live in the same county. That's it. So it's all okay. So let's look here. So I want to show you the chart. So let's go up here to KOPF. Let's just get rid of the flight plan. Go to airports down here at the bottom. I'm gonna go to airport. I'm gonna turn it sideways so it's a little easier to see. Okay, and let's put KOPF here so you can see. And now I'm going to pick a departure. So procedure there, and then the departure, and I'll pick the dolphin something. Which one do I want? Miami 2? No, I don't want the Miami 2. Any of them. Let's pick Miami 2 departure. And this is the FAA chart. So this isn't the scale. If you look down here at the bottom, it says chart's not the scale. So you can't geo-reference on this. So you don't see my blue dot, right? You don't see it, even though I go all the way out to Freeport, Bahamas, which is how long? In a long way, right? Let's look at the Jepson chart. The same one. Look at that. It's to scale, and I'm geo-referenced right there. That's where I am. So this will follow you. So yet another reason. Right, so I'd show you that the stars are the same. You probably won't do a star in a piston airplane, but we've got that. We'll have a wings credit here shortly, so we're not quite there yet. Okay, so now I would like to go show you some of the weather stuff. So let me go back to maps, show you some of the things that might be useful to you. First, this route. I'm going to look at it in profile view, and I don't think there's any weather out, which is unfortunate. But let me just take a look. Turn the radar on. I don't think we have any weather. We shouldn't have anything. Okay, but I could maybe make one from Pensacola. So say PNS to, I don't know, where, somewhere over here I can see. PNS to BGE, PNS to BGE, PNS to BGE, PNS to BGE. KPNS, KPGE. Right, there's our flight plan. Now, let's have a look at it. Well, it doesn't go through much weather, does it? I wanted to have weather and go to Tallahassee, right? Maybe something like that. Let's go here. FPY, FPY. Okay, FPY, KFPY, KFPY. Okay, now let's see what that looks like. Look at the profile view. That's my profile view, but the clouds are, there's no clouds, but that's the airspace. And you can see if I have this, I have an option to put on clouds. So I can show if there are clouds, the bases and tops would be shown in there. So there's obviously nothing in my exact route. I can put on turbulence for that's light turbulence. So very near the ground. I can also turn on icing. There won't be any icing, of course, but. There's that. So you have all those layers available to you, but only in the premium subscription. Now, in terms of, so this will show me everything, the clouds, all the airspace within 4 miles of my route. So if I want to see more, I can go to the gear at the top and I can just hit quarter width and change it to whatever, some other number. So maybe I want to see, I don't know, within 10, 8 miles, maybe, or slower, lower than that even. Now it's changed the quarter width. And then when we look also, let's, yeah, so that's the now on that. So we've got that. Okay, let me just change it back. Quarter width to 4. Okay, now let's fly it. Let's do that, right? So you notice I have a little, looks like a world over here, airplane globe. So I'm going to tap it. I'm going to put it 20x speed right here, and I'm going to play, and it's going to start doing it for me. Now, there's probably not a lot to see here because there's not a lot to see here. So you can see obstacles over to the right, those white things, and they'll be at various altitudes. I can scrub ahead if I want to, see what it looks like. So I can see everything, right? See if it's a good idea. So that's a very good thing to have. Okay, let's close this and let's look at airports. So let's go back to the airports tab and let's look at well, our airport here, KOPF. So we can see traffic. I can get an idea of whether I want to go to the pattern, if I want to do an instant approach, or by seeing ADS-B traffic. So I can say, okay, oh, I have already OPF. And I go here to 3D view at the top. And I'm going to turn on traffic for a second. 3D view. And you can see the ADS-B traffic is there. So, and I can actually turn ADS-B traffic on for the practice area and see if it makes sense to go out there or do an instant approach somewhere else or wherever I want to go. So this is quite handy. So we use 9 left quite often. So that would be 9 left. And we can see the view related to that or whatever we want around here. Okay. So that's in the comments again for Opa-locka. If we go to the comments up here at the top right, see that. That's true. James says Roma's restaurant is. Yes, that's a really good place. Yes, I said it correctly. Okay, so there's that crowdsourced comments with the AI summary at the top. And then we also have the solar data is right here. So you can see sunrise and sunset, an old thing. If I tap that thing, I'll get the rest of it. So now I know when that part is. Okay, second. Okay, so having all the plates loaded that I want to do to teach a lesson is quite handy. I'm going to be teaching a double act class here in a week, 10 days, left to left 12, 13 days, whatever it is. So I like having all that set up in ForeFly. Now let's look at the weather quickly and I'll show you the documents last night. So let's do this. Let's zoom out. And I know it's a section chart, but for purposes of teaching weather, it's a little better to be able to see it in this view. I'm going to turn off the radar. And I'm going to turn on the surface analysis chart, which is here. And then it's going to populate. So one thing I can do is I can, when I begin talking about fronts, I can say, well, cold front. So I could say on one side of the front, this side, for example, it's going to be colder and the pressure is going to be higher than over here. And so then we can look at, and we can also look at the weather later, put the radar on top of that and see. But we can go to stations and we can get their weather and see that that's true. The other thing we can do is we can look at those semi-permanent high and low pressure areas. So here's the low pressure areas that are included moving into the Pacific Northwest. This is a classic cold front, open center depression is occluded here. And that looks like that might, it's not quite the Lucian low. Lucian low might be there. Well, we'll take a look in a second. And then we can also look over here for at the Icelandic low, which will, it's not very clear today, but okay, that's okay. So what we can do, we can look at the circulation around the low. We know that the low pressure areas move with the jet stream. So now what I can do is I can turn on the wind, animate the wind. So pick that and pick right here. And then I'm going to pick the altitude as a slider bar. The right. I'm going to pick the altitude. So we can look at where the jet stream would typically be for this time of year. So that's the way the low is going to move. The lows are going to move in these general directions, right? And we can also look out over the Atlantic here. Not much happening there, but you can see what's happening. Now it's Germany is getting a good amount of jet there. So there'll be some weather there in low pressure areas here by Sweden and by Norway. So we can see that. We can also change the altitudes. We can say, what does it look more like we're going to be flying at? We can see what that looks like. So you can teach weather in a much more graphical and interesting way than just being all static all the time. We can also look at the temperatures, like we said, because we said the temperature should be colder on one side of the front and not on the other, right? So at whatever, I will pick the altitude, and then we can see the, you can see down here the temperature ranges. So we got that. Let's go here. Radar, again, we have lowest tilt here, enhanced satellite, and we have classic, which is composite. And then you have satellite images here. So you can teach all that from ForeFlight. Now, the last thing we can do is for just for so we have time. Now, again, we'll close the show at we will close the show at the right on the top of the hour, and we're going to keep the room open so we can do more things. But for the purposes of recording and for the show, this is what I want to show you. Okay, so let's move. You can also print on cameras if they're available. So for example, I'm going to go to an airport that I think you'll find kind of fascinating. I think we did it last week. I know which. PABR. I remember it by Pabst Blue Ribbon. PABR. It's the farthest north airport we have in the country. Was this town? It was called Barrow before. And if you look at it, look at the solar data. There's no sunrise or sunset. But night does happen. At evening, civil twilight is at 3:23. So from this period, you can log nighttime, right? And also, you'll see certain months in the summertime there'll be no there's always be light, right? So there's that. So you can see what that's like. And then also, if you look down here, you've got cameras, you've got the info. So this is what it looks like there right now. It tells you the time, 15 minutes ago. So you can see that could be helpful for your flight planning for you if. Now, not airports have webcams. I just know this one does. So it's another thing to put in my bank of things I'm going to teach the student because I go like, I need to know this airport so I can always go to it and rely on being able to see what teach what I want to teach. I don't want to guess where all the webcams are. And I just want to have it preloaded in my brain to say this is where I'm going to go. All right, now in terms of syncing the cloud drive, I have a cloud drive here synced already, and it's here under documents. So I'm going to get that and we'll step through a quick weather briefing. So these are the documents that I've imported if I want to. But this is from here. I've imported these. And this one is our CFI Essentials program, which basically is all the stuff I'm going to use to teach a lesson. So maybe I want to teach our stuff. And maybe I want to do airspace, something like that. Let it do it. Because I delinked it the other day. So this is air, one of our, now watch how fast this PDF viewer is. I'm just going to scrub this down here. Look how fast it loads. It's amazing. If you want a virtual whiteboard, just zoom up and get rid of all that isn't white there. And take your Apple Pencil and go to the very top and you'll see a pen tool right here. Tap that. I'll pick a blue color. It seems like a good color. I don't know what font, you know, I mean, how many points I want to make it yet, but I'll just give it a go. Okay, and then I can also get rid of those. So I've got a virtual whiteboard here. And then I can go, if I want to annotate something, like maybe I want to show something like this, then I can maybe use the red color. I think better if I use red, right? So I pick color, red. That red sounds good. Okay. Go that is, and I'll change the font point, something bigger. So we can make the thickness of the line like there. That's important. Whatever I want to do with that. So you can annotate right here and you can project this on a smart TV or wherever you want to do it. And you got everything you need with the Apple Pencil and this, right? Then a last thing, leave this. So that's, I've synced my drive there. We'll get a weather briefing on the flight we propose to do. So let me go to the maps and we'll put on something more relevant like that. Get rid of this. Okay. And let's just get a weather briefing from that route we want to do. So the way you do that is to pick the flight plan. So it's at the top, this thing. And then you have a share button here. Also for you IFR instructors, when someone designs a route, you see the clouds populated here now. You actually can see them now. Here's the bases, tops over here. Here's a cloud in the way. So now we've populated that. But what I was going to show you was the just a good briefing. So it's the share button, and then also that flight plan, I can share it to you with this button. So it means I can send it to you via email, text, or AirDrop, and you can then tap it, and it will open up on your iPad. But for weather briefing, it'd be under flights, and then the briefing is there. Oh, because of the okay. Yeah, the time on route, because I'm just flying a different airplane. So I don't have any time to do it, but you can get a briefing from there. And you can get old timey nav log here too. This is like for those DPEs, who still insist on such things, that you've got one. Okay. All right. So that's all I've got for you for today. The Wings credit is in the chat. We will keep the room open for the next several hours, I'm sure. We usually keep it, last time we kept up until 5:30 or so, 5 o'clock, 4:30. It was some late time. Anyway, the only thing I care about is happy hour. That's at 5. So there you go. It's nice having all 780 of you, I think there were today. It was quite a lot of people. We didn't max out the room. We thought we might. I'll go through the chats first thing right after we close out the show. But for now, hope it was beneficial to you. There were a lot of things that we did there. I know we stepped through it pretty quickly because we only have an hour, but I'm happy to take extra time and help you out with anything else we need to do today. And we'll open up the mic for questions as well. So we can make as interactive as you want, okay? I'm pretty expert user at ForeFlight, I think. And so other people are probably more expert. They can really help us. Okay, that's it. I'm gonna close out.
CFI Bootcamp in Miami Beach, Florida. This is the Power Hour.